Bible reading this morning is 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22, the first 12 verses. 1 Kings 22, 1 through 12. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the people, "As your people, my horses are as your horses." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first, for the Lord is of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but rather evil." And so Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaah, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king."
Good morning. I said last week when we were talking about Ahab that we would probably spend one more week talking about him, and I have chosen to do that one more week. By the time we're done here, you will understand why there won't be a third week, but we'll get to that. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But last week we talked about how Ahab let his selfishness cause the death of a man who just wanted to retain his family's vineyard. And it ended up costing that man his life. And we know that Ahab was told that he would be put to death and his generations would be put to death. But he was also then told that he would be spared, that the punishment would come upon his generations to follow. And so we're going to then look at what happened, maybe not necessarily next chronologically, but what Ahab still continued to do, even after he had promised to be, for lack of a better term, on his best behavior. So John read the first 12 verses of chapter 22 of 1 Kings, and just for the sake of time this morning, that will be the only reading. I will mention the further verses that I'm commenting from and encourage you, if you would like to continue to read that on your own later, you'll know where to find them. But we are going to stay mainly, and I think exclusively here in chapter 22 of 1 Kings. So it's about 853 BC when these events that John read take place. And Ahab is still the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat is, we're told, the king of Judah. And they were actually in-laws that Ahab's daughter had married Jehoshaphat's son. So not only were they each a king, there's a little bit of a familial connection between these two families. And so Jehoshaphat goes up and he visits with Ahab. And he says, "You know what, this Ramoth-Gilead, you know, this is ours, but I have not taken possession of it. It had been 3 years since a war had been won, But he, meaning Ahab, had been distracted by the Assyrians, and he just hadn't gotten to the point where he could take it back, you know, fully in possession. My guess is, since he asked for Jehoshaphat's assistance, that he's not confident that he could go in, even though he won the war 3 years ago. A lot of things could happen in 3 years. People could have moved back in, they could have fortified, whatever the case may be. But my guess is Ahab doesn't think he can do it alone. So he's asking Jehoshaphat to come and help him with that. And so he's saying, help me, let's join forces and let's do this. And Jehoshaphat says, great, my horses are your horses. You know, my men are your men. Let's do this. But he has one condition that must be met before he'll fully commit to this attack. And that is, he wants to consult with the Lord. Now, I'm a very bad preparer. I should have gone and seen. I forget what Jehoshaphat, if he was a good king, bad king. But I think at least the very fact that he says we should consult with the Lord gives me an idea that he's not totally evil, if that's the case. But he does say that. He goes, let us consult with the Lord. So Ahab says, fine, let's do that. And he calls in 400 prophets. And these were not prophets of the Lord. They were just prophets that were his. We know that Elijah had killed some prophets earlier when they had their battle of faith and so forth. You know, what God was the right God. And so these are the prophets that they were having come in and talk. And they said, basically, these 400 prophets say, yeah, go on up. This will be something that you can take pretty easily. The Lord will give the king victory. And so Jehoshaphat is not completely overwhelmed by this. He recognizes what they were, that they were basically just a bunch of yes men to the king. Whatever the king said, they were going to go along with it. They weren't going to cause trouble. They weren't going to make the king doubt their abilities and so forth. They're just telling him everything that Ahab wants to hear. And so he says, is there no one else that we can consult with? And so Ahab says, well, there's this one guy, but he doesn't like me. Everything he says about me is negative. And that, of course, is Micaiah that we are told about. And Jehoshaphat says, well, we should hear from him. We should speak to him and have him give his thoughts from the Lord. And so Ahab does summon him to the palace. And we're told that when he arrives, the two kings are sitting there on, it says they're on two thrones, and they're all adorned in their robes and very kingly in their appearance. And at this time, the 400 prophets are still continuing to prophesy. I don't know if the 400 prophets had a spokesperson or all 400 people, 400 of them were just chanting. You know, we don't know what happened, but that is what is happening. And we're told that one of the prophets named Zedekiah says, thus says the Lord, with these, he had some iron horns, and he says, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And so they are gung-ho for this. They have no doubt that this is what they should go do. And so as we read this and we think about what has been asked of Ahab and how he responds, for lack of a better term, I'm like, how could Ahab be so callous or just so, I don't want to say disrespectful or insensitive towards Jehoshaphat, but when Jehoshaphat is asking to inquire of the Lord, this is who Ahab trots out, these 400 prophets, that he knows that they're just going to tell him what he wants to hear. And so we can be critical of Ahab, but we need to look inwardly and say, I think a lot of times that's what we want. We want to be told that we can do what we want to do. And that's what this world is just filled with, that type of personality. I just want to have someone say what I'm doing is okay. We don't have to look very far in a newscast or anything to find people of different deviance, different sinful activities getting that affirmation from people all around them. And so that's what is happening. They have no problems, even if they want to have a religious or be spiritual, they have no problem finding churches that will tell them what they want to hear. That'll smooth their guilt, will allow them to do what they want to do without having any concerns or any issues with that. People want to do what they want to do, and they will go to who they need to talk to be able to convince themselves that what they're doing is correct. In this case, Ahab had no interest in finding out what the Lord actually had to say. That's why he brought out his 400 prophets. He was perfectly content, prior to Jehoshaphat making his demand, he was perfectly content to go forward into battle, and the Lord would have not even, I would dare say, not even be an afterthought. He wouldn't have even been a thought at all. He never thought to call Micaiah on his own and consult with him, because in his mind, Micaiah, who really is just passing on the words of the Lord, it's not Micaiah telling Ahab things he doesn't want to hear. It's the Lord telling Ahab things he doesn't want to hear. And if he doesn't have, and if he doesn't bring Micaiah before him, then he doesn't have to hear that. And so we need to be careful, because, like I said, we can easily have the same attitude. We should want to hear and read the word of the Lord to know what it is that we are to do, no matter how difficult or how disappointing a lot of people would find the word of the Lord regarding their actions. But we have to know what it is that God has to say about our lives. So then in 1 Kings 22, 13 through 17, the messenger goes to get Micaiah, and he tells Micaiah, all the prophets have been promising victory. Be sure that your words agree with theirs. Just don't make any waves. Just do what everybody else is doing. But Micaiah says, I can only say what the Lord tells me to say. I'm not going to say anything different. Whatever the Lord tells me, I'm going to tell the king. And so he is asked, he appears before the two kings, and he is asked whether or not they should go to war. And Micaiah responds by saying the exact same words as the 400 prophets. Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Well, Ahab knows that Micaiah is being sarcastic. We don't have the benefit of knowing the tone of voice or how that was delivered, but it's pretty obvious to Ahab that Micaiah is being very sarcastic. And he says, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? This is the man that he says never says anything good about him, but he's insisting, tell me what the Lord says. This is obviously not the first time that this type of conversation has happened, because he says how many times. And so once all that is out of the way, Micaiah then proceeds to actually deliver the word of the Lord to him. Micaiah tells Ahab, his vision of all Israel is that of scattering sheep, that they are without a shepherd, their master has been killed, and they have returned back to their homes. Micaiah says that you will not be victorious in this battle, and not only will the battle not be victorious, Ahab, you yourself will die. So what we can take from these verses is that the godly person, in this case Micaiah is the example that we can follow, realizes that the words of the Lord cannot be changed. The words of the Lord are what we need to make sure we are focused upon. That has to be our standard. And Micah's response is completely in line with that concept. When we are teaching others, we can only teach what the Word says. We can't try to put our own interpretation on it or put our own spin on it or leave some things out so that we don't offend the person that we are speaking with. We have to do what the Word says, and we have to demand that anyone teaching the Word hold that standard as well. Nothing else would be acceptable. And so we must live our lives like Micaiah lived his lives, where he will only hear what the Lord has to say, and our situation, we can only read what the Lord has given us, and we will only say what the word that has been given to us says, and that is the only thing that we will accept as being what we need to have our life be revolving around. We continue on in 1 Kings 22, verses 18 through 28. The story continues. Micaiah has just told Ahab that the battle will be lost and that he himself will die. Now, we might be interested to see how Ahab reacts. Well, does he listen to what Micaiah said? Does he reflect upon that and change his mind? No, he just complains to Jehoshaphat that I was right. He never says anything nice about me. And so Micaiah goes further to say why he said what he said. He says, "The Lord asks all the hosts of heaven, who will be that will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead so he will be killed?" The Lord says, who's going to go before the king and make him go to this battle? The answer was that a lying spirit would be sent to him and in the mouth of those 400 prophets. That's how he would be convinced to go up to Ramoth-Gilead, by listening to those lying prophets. And so they would give him the information that would ultimately lead to Ahab's death. So the Lord has pronounced a death sentence, basically, here on Ahab, because he's a wicked king. And as I mentioned last week, we talked about that the judgment would have been withheld from him if he had just devoted himself back to the Lord. This is, well, it ends up being the final straw that pronounces this judgment to be returned back upon him. And so Ahab could have listened here. He could have said, you know what? You're right, Micaiah. You do speak for the Lord. I need to be careful and I need to not pursue this. But that's not what happens. He responds pretty aggressively. He has Micaiah arrested and says, I want him kept under lock and key, and you are to feed him only bread and water. He's to have meager rations until I return from battle. And so Micaiah responds, if you return in peace, then that basically is proving that the words that I spoke are not from the Lord. But, he says, if he doesn't come back, everyone here should realize that what I said was the word of the Lord. And so we have to have the same kind of attention to when we are listening and reading the word of the Lord, that we recognize what is being said, that we have to reflect upon that, and if necessary, we have to change direction. We can't ignore what the word says. We have to abide by it, and we have to be wise enough to consider how it impacts our life, and not act the way Ahab did and just go forward with what we want, eventually to his doom. We have to think about what it is that the word teaches us and how we need to be reconciled or adapt to it. So 1 Kings 22, 29 through 40, we find what happened to Ahab for his rejection of Micaiah's words. He says, you know what? I can get around this. They're going to be looking for kings. I'm going to dress like a regular soldier. I'm not going to have anything about me. Nothing of my appearance will cause people to look at me or recognize me as being a king. And so he thinks he has it all figured out. And we do know that initially the disguise works, because the Syrian armies do recognize Jehoshaphat. Now, they may not have known, they probably didn't know that the Judean armies are there with them. They see a king. They don't have Facebook or Google. They don't know what the king of Israel looks like, probably. And so they see someone who's arrayed and adorned in kingly robes, and well, that's got to be the person we're going after. But at some point, they do realize that he is not the person they're seeking. He's not the king of Israel. But we're told that a soldier in the Syrian army draws back his bow and shoots into a crowd of Israelite soldiers. And as we know, They couldn't have necessarily known it was Ahab because he looked like all the others. But this was just a random arrow that shot into a group. And we're told that it hits Ahab between the joints of his armor, just at the perfect shot, went in, and he is badly wounded. And we're told later that he does die in his chariot, and that later when it's washed down, there's so much blood in it, they have to wash it down, that the dogs come over and lick up that blood. That's the prophecy that we talked about at the end of last week. Micaiah is proven to be correct. His prophecy came true, and he has once again proven that the word of the Lord is true, that the word of the Lord cannot be rejected. But today, people who have the word, people that maybe at one point in their life had considered themselves Christians or at least interested in the Bible, they just stubbornly reject what the word says. They have to twist and contort it to make it fit their lifestyle. They don't realize that the Lord is telling us how we should be living a good life, that we should be able to make wise decisions, and what is needed for us to be in a relationship with the Lord. And so people just are not wanting to accept that, but they reject what they are given. And so, but here today, obviously if you're here this morning, there's not too much to question about your dedication to the Lord, your intent of being here, but we can't look at a story like this and say, oh, those people, how could they do that? We're not immune to this. We all fall short and sin. And when we sin at that time, in that moment, you know, moment in time, I'm sure we've convinced ourselves why we could do this. Well, it's fine. I can do this. We are not immune to this type of thinking. And so we have to beware and realize that by doing this, we're just heaping further problems upon ourselves. And we are separating ourselves from the Lord when we do these things. And so we have to realize that by doing that, we're jeopardizing our relationship with the Lord. And ultimately, we're jeopardizing where our soul will spend eternity. And so we need to just, in conclusion, look at, last week we looked at the selfishness of Ahab. This week we looked at the reluctance to consult the Lord, to learn what he wants from him. And we just have to be on the lookout, be watchful that we don't let these same attitudes appear in our lives. That we have to listen to God's word. We have to seek his word, and we have to let God's word be the prism through which we make our decisions. It's the filter that we have to use. And as we see from Ahab, disaster comes when the word of the Lord is ignored. Brother Bragg has our prayer, and we'll ask him to lead us in that prayer, and we will be dismissed, and we'll have our class.